turn in our Bibles to Philippians and chapter 2. The last few weeks we've been tracing through Philippians. And I'm going to read just the first four verses of Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Amen. Since the beginning of the year, we've been thinking through the theme of living deep with God. Living deep with God. How can we make sure that we don't live superficially? Particularly, how can we make sure that we don't live superficially in terms of our walk with God, our spiritual journeys, our journey with God? How can we say and do something about going a little deeper? And we've already understood that our understanding, our mind, our perspective on God will need to change. We need to think about our faith. We need to grapple with difficult questions. We need to grapple with difficult issues. Our understanding of God needs to change if we are to live deep with God. We have to allow God to truly be Lord over our lives if we are to begin to live deep with God. And today we're thinking about this under the title of Welcoming the Difference. Welcoming the Difference. What do I mean by that? Well, hopefully it'll become clear as we go through, but I'll explain it now, just in case it doesn't. Welcoming the Difference. When God touches your life, whether you consider yourself to be a Christian or not, when God touches your life, because I actually believe that God touches, I guess, everybody's life. It's just we don't name it as such. We don't name it as God was touching me at that point. When God touches our lives, when God reveals his love to us, when we're aware of him, when we experience who he is and what he does, it makes a difference to us. And today it's about welcoming the difference that God makes. God touches us, and that, from what we read in the Bible, that should make a difference to us. And if we're to live deep with God, we have to say, Lord, when you touch my life, when I read something in the Scriptures, and it just goes, wow, that is so profound, that's so wonderful, that's so glorious, I welcome the difference that that understanding makes. When we encounter somebody in a particular situation, and whether it's good or difficult or bad, and we're aware that God is somehow in that situation and it impacts us, if we're to live deep with God, when we need to have an open attitude that says, I welcome the difference that that experience makes to me. I welcome the difference. I am prepared to be a different person. To have my life turned around because God is all around me. God is touching me and I am experiencing God in all oh so many different ways. And the Apostle Paul begins this, what we know as chapter 2. And of course, it wasn't him. You do know, don't you, that Paul didn't go through numbering his letters. Somebody else did that. I think it was it a bishop in a carriage on the way to Lyon? I seem to remember he thought, you know, we ought to divide it up. But the Apostle Paul begins this section with this. if you have any encouragement, and there is an expectation that being united with Christ will bring encouragement, the difference that it makes. If any comfort from his love, the expectation the Apostle Paul has, if you experience God's love, there will be something called comfort that you experience and will make a difference to you. If any fellowship with the hope, with the Spirit, the expectation, your experience of the Spirit will give you what we know as a sense of fellowship. If any tenderness and compassion, the Apostle Paul is living in this expectation. Thank you, darling. Living with this expectation that we will encounter God, we will experience God, and as we experience God, it will make a difference to us. Now, you might say, well, why on earth do we actually need to reflect on this at all, welcoming the difference? Because you know as well as I do that God does encounter us on a regular basis. We read the Bible and God leaps out of the pages to us. We meet God when we encounter other people, when we pray, when we reflect, all sorts of different. But you know as well as I do, sometimes we are just too busy. We're perhaps in too much pain. Perhaps we're just so distracted. And we don't welcome the difference that God wants to make to us. And the Apostle Paul says, if you have any encouragement, if you've experienced, if you know this encouragement, if. He's expecting that there will be this sense of change, of difference as we encounter God. Well, this morning, four key headings. The difference of knowing Christ alongside, the difference of experiencing God's love, the difference of experiencing the Spirit, and then fourthly, the difference of knowing God's heart. And that's so that you know where we're going and also when we're almost finished. The difference of knowing Christ alongside. The Apostle Paul begins what we know as Philippians chapter 2 with these words. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. And the sense that is being expressed here is simply this. Christ has come alongside you. Christ has come alongside you. If you have any encouragement, and the word encouragement there, really, the depth of its meaning is Christ has come alongside you. It's as if Christ right now is sitting next to you. And when you leave here, he will go with you. And if you're going to go into a difficult situation when you leave here, or if you're going to go into a difficult situation tomorrow, you will be different because Christ is alongside you. Now, normally you would think, well, I'm not sure I can deal with the people I'm going to meet. Life would be so much better if it wasn't for the people. But because I know Christ is alongside me, it's going to be okay. I still don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. But somehow I know. And that's the sense that's being expressed. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you understand Christ has come alongside you. And then we read earlier from John's Gospel chapter 14, where Jesus says, I'm going to leave you. But my Father's going to send another, just like me, called the Counselor, the same word really, as the encouragement here. One, the Spirit's going to come and he's going to stand next to you. It's almost like he's going to be there and he's just going to advise you, he's going to help you. And when you're feeling down, he'll say, come on, it's not that bad. Oh no, I can't face this situation. Yes, you can. I'm with you. It'll be okay. And the Spirit is there alongside. And you know, there is that lovely Easter story, that Easter Sunday story. You know the story about the couple who are making a journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they journey, they're talking together and they're discussing the questions and the frustrations about their own lives. And they're joined by a stranger. And they walk, the three of them together, and the stranger asked them, what was it you were talking about? And they say, well, we had great hope that the one Jesus, you know, we thought he was a prophet from God and He was going to lead Israel to a new sense of freedom, a new sense of understanding of what it meant to be God's people. But they crucified him and it's all over. But there's some funny stories going around that he's been raised from the dead and we don't know what to make of it. And of course, that stranger was Jesus, raised from the dead. And he began with Moses and the prophets and began to open up the scriptures and explain it all to them. And then they arrive at their destination, a village called Emmaus, and they invite him in because this stranger, Jesus, is going as if, no, I've got somewhere else to go. Come in. And they sit down to eat and he takes the bread. He gives thanks and he breaks it. And as he breaks the bread, they have this awareness. It's Jesus. We didn't recognize him. And in that instant, he disappears and he's gone from them. And then they turn to each other. And they say this. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Now, what's the point of this? Very simple. When Christ comes alongside us, it doesn't have no effect. It doesn't make no difference. When Christ comes alongside us, our hearts burn within us. It's as if God sets us on fire. It's as if there is something powerful at work within us. Our hearts are on fire. And simply this, if this is true, then surely it must make a difference to us. And the Apostle Paul is able to say, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any understanding that Christ comes alongside you, then surely it makes a difference. Surely it makes a difference. And this is where we need to say, okay, I welcome the difference. I welcome that. Knowing that Christ is alongside me. The second, the experience, the difference of experiencing God's love. The Apostle Paul writes, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love. Now, what might we think of when we think of comfort? Being comfortable, perhaps. Is that right, Jane? You know, lying on a nice, comfortable sofa, cushions all sides, music playing, just a sense of relaxation. Wonderful. Do you know, that's not how the Bible understands comfort. You see, we need comfort in our spiritual journeys. When we get stuck, we need comfort on our spiritual journeys when we grind to a halt. Now, if the purpose, Jesus said, I am the way. The expectation is that we will constantly be journeying. Jesus says, come, follow me. Come, journey with me. The purpose is we will always be journeying. We've never quite arrived. We're always discovering, journeying after God. If we are journeying and we come to a full stop because of circumstances, because of a lack of understanding, because of things that have happened to us, things we've done, if we come to an understanding, what kind of comfort do we need? Not to say, there, here's a cushion. Sit down, it's okay. The comfort that the Apostle Paul has in view has a deep sense of forward motion. I don't think it's quite a kick, you know, to get you going. But it is the strength, the energy, the passion to move you from a place where either you're going the wrong way or you've become stationary. If you have any comfort from his love, so you're grinding to a halt and God says, I love you. I love you. Don't give up now. Don't give up because of this person or that situation. You don't understand it. But I love you. There is somewhere to be headed. Now, come on. Receive this sense, this energy, this passion of moving forwards. And it's about experiencing God's love and knowing a change in your priorities. It's about being persuaded. Yes, I will journey forwards. I will carry on in spite of everything. I will carry on. At the church meeting the other night, Wednesday night, And you know, after I think we are blessed. Our church meetings are okay. You know, and if you've been in Baptist churches for a long time, you know what a blessing it is. And we began by reflecting on the first few words of Psalm 73, which says, "Surely God is good." And you know what it is? Sometimes your circumstances, you would look around your circumstances and you would say, "My circumstances are such, my experience is such, that I'm not sure anymore. I'm not sure anymore." And you begin to slow down on your journey. And perhaps you almost come to a full stop. But there is that sense in Psalm 73 where the psalmist is wrestling with his own experience, the situation with life, and he begins with, "Surely God is good. Surely he's good. My situation doesn't tell me he's good, but surely he is good." And sometimes we need to say that. Surely, in spite of the evidence, surely God is good. And this is where God comes alongside and he puts his love upon us and he gives us comfort. And that comfort is about he gives us everything we need to carry on moving. See, the Apostle Paul says, look, if this is true, welcome the difference it makes knowing Christ is alongside. Your heart burns. Like Wesley, his heart was strangely warmed when he realized that God loved him. If any comfort from his love. But then not only that, because he continues, and here we reflect on the difference of experiencing the Spirit. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, and then if any fellowship with the Spirit. And this word fellowship is about the sharing together that which we have and hold in common. Like sharing that together. I remember when I was at school doing A-level English, we studied the poet John Donne. And have you ever read John Donne? Probably one of the only things, literally, probably one of the only things I remember from all of those lessons on John Donne was that he wrote poems, but he wrote meditations. Meditation number 17, "No man is an island, complete in himself." Part of a meditation, number 17. You know. When the Holy Spirit comes close to us, he gives us a fresh awareness that I am not an island. In other words, I am, whatever I think of myself, whatever size my ego is, when the Holy Spirit comes close to us, we're aware again, afresh, I am not complete in myself. I cannot isolate myself from the rest of the world, from other people. I cannot cut myself off. And what the Holy Spirit is doing, you see, all of the time, an activity of the Holy Spirit, almost that the Holy Spirit cannot help himself doing, because that's who he is, and that's what he does. He is creating community all the time. That's what he does all the time. He is drawing people back to God as Father, drawing people back to their spiritual home. And not only is he drawing people, an individual back to their Heavenly Father, to their spiritual home, but he's also saying, look, there are others here who stand with you. Others who've discovered that God is their Father. Their place of rest is right here. And that's what the Holy Spirit is all the time doing. So when the Holy Spirit comes alongside us, the difference the Holy Spirit makes is to somehow make us feel inadequate. Is that a surprise? But makes us understand, I am not complete in myself. I need others. And I suggest the difference the Spirit makes in us is a yearning for community. A yearning for community. A yearning for others, because this is what the Holy Spirit does. That's his job, to draw people together. And so the Apostle Paul can say, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any sense of understanding or experience that Christ has come alongside you and your heart has been warmed, if you have any comfort from his love, any sense that you have at times ground to a halt, but God has comforted you and encouraged you and persuaded you to carry on going. If you have any sense, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any sense, I am not complete in myself, but I need others. But he doesn't finish there. If. The fourth one is the difference of knowing God's heart. Because Paul says, if any tenderness and compassion. If any tenderness and compassion. If you know the difference that Christ makes to you. So that for you it's not just an academic faith. It's not about passing exams or writing essays or anything like that. That might be true, but you've experienced God and you've welcomed that and said, I want to. If any tenderness or compassion, knowing God's heart. God's heart, you know, is soft and passionate. God's heart is soft and passionate. God's soft heart is a merciful heart. As Jesus said to his disciples, be merciful as your Father is merciful. And we'll only ever be merciful if our hearts are somehow soft. If our hearts are somehow soft and open to being moved by others. So that when wrong is done to us, rather than reacting with anger and sense of vengeance, because we have a soft heart, we desire to be merciful. So any tenderness, any softness in your heart, if you've been changed that much. But then, didn't want to do that. Put that back. Wrong button. But then, soft and passionate, as I say, but a passionate heart. Not just soft, tender, merciful, but a passionate heart. You know, God's heart is passionate. We see this in a number of different places in the Gospels where Jesus is encountered by others, or Jesus encounters people, and we are told that he is moved deep within his heart. He is moved, for example, with compassion. We're told when Jesus sees the crowd, that you know, the 5,000 or more coming to him, we are told that he is moved deep within him, because he says, not because they're hungry, but because they're sheep without a shepherd, he says. And it's, you know, if any of you read the King James Version, you don't get if any tenderness or compassion here. Because, you know, it's about having a soft heart and a compassionate heart. And for the Hebrews, for the Jews, the place of the emotions, we would say it resides in the heart. Yeah? They would say it resides in the bowels. So in the King James Version, I think it actually has, if you have any bowels. You don't believe me, do you? But it's there. If you have any bowels, if you have any heart, is what they mean. You know, they believe, you know that sense? In my gut. Or in my heart, my gut. And because they felt it deeply. And that's what all they were getting at. You know, when God's heart, experiencing God's heart, if your heart has been softened by God, but also if you have a passion, if you're deeply, passionately moved, and we have this wonderful example from Luke 15, story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son thinks, I'm eating the pig food and it's no good and I should return home. I'll be a servant. They get better fed. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled, stirred, moved with compassion. And we don't get it in our culture. You see, it wasn't right for the father to move at all. The father should be dignified. This father should be aloof to this son who'd wrecked everything, had disgraced him, who'd wasted all his inheritance. The father should have been aloof. He should have stood and waited. And then he should have reprimanded his son. And then he said, would have said, servant, not even a servant would treat me like you've treated me. But we're told the father had compassion. He was stirred. He was moved. He couldn't hold himself back. And he gets up and he runs. And the neighbors would have looked at him and said, why are you doing that? He's not worth it. But you know, this is how God feels. And this is God's heart. It is not only soft, but it's passionate. And it deeply moved. And so the Apostle Paul says, if you know the difference, if you know the difference of having Christ alongside you, if you know the difference of experiencing God's love, if you know the difference of experiencing the Spirit, that sense of longing for others, that is the difference of knowing God's heart. Well, what then? And a very simple thing. Because the Apostle Paul then says, okay, this is the deal. If you know any of that, if you welcome the difference, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And if we know the difference Christ makes, we make a deliberate choice. And it is about choices. It doesn't just descend on you. And suddenly you wake up and think, right, I'm transformed today. How did that happen? It's not an accident, not a mistake. This happens because you choose it. Because you say, I welcome the difference God makes. What do? This is what I choose. Like-mindedness, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. What is this? Well, being like-minded, that is about sharing the same values. It's not about agreeing on every detail of doctrine, but it's about sharing the same values, saying we know what is important and we will hold these things together. It is about sharing the same love. Exactly the same words are being used by sharing the same mind, sharing the same love. And then being one in spirit. Again, really, it's deeper, I feel, than that. It's we will be of one soul, as if we are one person together. We will be one in spirit, but we'll be one in purpose. We'll say we know what's important, and we will share that together. We know what's important, and this is what we will do about it. We will honor God. We will welcome the stranger. We will bless everybody who comes across our paths. We will encourage everyone on their journeys of seeking after God. We will not turn anyone away, no matter where they are on their journey. Whether they think they've arrived or they've not even started, it doesn't matter. We will welcome and we'll create a safe place for them. We will be a blessing because God has blessed us. If, says Paul, if we know the difference and we welcome it, then make the choice and live in this way. May God bless us as we wrestle with the challenge and the encouragement he brings. And let's pray. Father, thank you that you are our Father. Father, thank you that our souls will not truly find a place of rest until we find it in you. And Father, we pray that as we journey towards you, following after your Son, the Lord Jesus, we pray that we would be prepared to put down our defenses, our barriers, that so easily spring up. You'd help us to be prepared to put them down, so that we can see you at work, we can let you touch us, and we will welcome the difference that you make. That we may no longer live superficially, but we may live deeply with you. We thank you for your grace towards us. Thank you for your patience towards us. Bless us, we pray, enrich our life with you and enrich our life with one another. For we pray in Jesus' name.